Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Every time I go to dinner, seems like I'm getting a little bit thinner.
Bo Burnham has gone from YouTube sensation to professional comedian, actor, songwriter, and now poet, and he's only 23. Burnham grew up in Hamilton, Massachusetts, and at 16 began recording funny songs for his older brother and posting them on YouTube. This one, My Whole Family Thinks I'm Gay, went viral. More than 7 million people viewed it.
My whole family thinks I'm gay. I guess it's always been that. Maybe it's because of the way that I walk makes them think I like boys.
Besides touring, Bo Burnham has released 3 comedy albums. He created, wrote, and directed an MTV mockumentary. Now he's got a brand new book of poetry. It's called Egghead, or You Can't Survive on Ideas Alone. And he joins us now from Argo Studios in New York. And Bo Burnham, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. That was rough listening to that old song 6 years ago. Ooh, I almost had to take the headphones off.
Well, we're going to talk about the poetry, but I have to ask you about that most famous song of yours, My Whole Family Thinks I'm Gay. Was that true when you wrote it? Where did the inspiration come from?
Yeah, I was just 16 years old and a theater kid in an all-boys high school, and I had sort of felt that way, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it was the common thing of, you know, I'll just say this thing before other people can say it about me. But yeah, listening to it, like, I'm just doing the most obvious jokes. It's just very fair. But I think it was nice for, you know, for a 16-year-old.
But, you know, there were indications in that of that song of the clever writing that you do.
The goddamn question just won't go away. And I get asked every single day, but the way they ask it is not a disguise. Like, how was your day? Do you like to kiss guys? That's funny.
Very clever stuff.
Yeah, I think it definitely showed some promise, and I hope I'm still showing that and still growing.
Well, you've had quite a career so far. 3 albums, a TV show, another special coming out this fall. Why a book of poetry?
You know, I had grown up on Shel Silverstein, and, you know, I really like John Lennon's book and his own writings. I'd always had an affection for sort of wordy, rhymey poetry accompanied by silly drawings.
It's funny that you mentioned Shel Silverstein. I used to read those poems to my daughter. But I got to say, your poetry is sort of like a collision between Shel Silverstein and, I don't know, Louis C.K. maybe.
I know there are at least a handful of poems in this book that you could read to your daughter. but you just don't want her to see what's maybe on the next page.
Yeah. Well, Bo, let's hear some of the poems. Some of them are really lovely. Some of them are really funny. Some of them we can't hear on this program.
Yeah.
But let's hear a couple. Can you pick a favorite?
Yeah, I guess I'll try to find some clean ones, though. All right, here's a clean one. This one's called, I like that thing you do with your tongue. What do you call it? Speaking? Yeah, I dig it. This one's called,
fantastic.
This one's called Light Up. She could light up a room with her smile, and she could really light one up with her flamethrower. But, that's just terrible.
No, it's good. It's good. How about clowns?
Clowns. Most people fear the evil clown, squeaking his big red nose in a dark barn. I fear the off-duty clown, out of his costume, impossible to spot, sitting next to me on the bus.
The reason I like that is I'm one of those people who usually finds clowns sort of creepy. And this idea
I've heard that so often, you know, that clowns are creepy. And I'm like, it's not the idea of like the guy that's outwardly a clown. It's the guy who like seems normal and then is about to go put makeup on and entertain children in this strange medieval way.
Yeah. Now, just opposite clowns, on the page opposite, there's actually quite a serious subject. A lot of them are serious. Would you mind reading it? It's called Ashley.
Yeah, sure. Little Ashley hung magazine spreads in her wall after picking the magazines out in the mall. Models and actresses, singers and more, with cleavage and makeup and glamour galore. All of her heroes were finally near her. Her whole room looked perfect, except for the mirror. I realize that a lot of my poetry is quite literal and on the nose, but that's sort of what I was the charm of the poetry that I read in Shel Silverstein.
But I like that poem. I mean, there's a serious idea in there about what young people at a vulnerable age are sort of exposed to, about what they're expected to look like.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Where do you get the inspiration? How do these ideas come to you? Do they come to you all day, or how does it work?
Not really. Well, particularly with this book, I was working on this show for MTV at the time that I was writing this book. And, you know, during the day, I was rewriting scripts and taking notes from the network and trying to navigate that for the first time. So this is really a palate cleanser for me, that a couple hours a night I'd just be able to absolutely let my mind wander. And especially with something like this poetry book, I want it to feel like every single page is a new universe. You get to turn the page into a whole different reality, because every poem can just be about anything. Comedy for me, I guess, was always about subverting expectations. That's really all it is. You know, it's surprises in certain way, one way or another. It's funny, and in this book, I think that subverting expectation and surprise sometimes veers it away from comedy or towards it.
It's interesting to hear you talk about it, because I'm wondering, as you go on this book circuit, if people are saying, hey, you wrote a book of poetry, Bo Burnham, make us laugh. You know, and some of the poems are very funny, and they did make me laugh, but in some ways it is sort of subverting the expectation about who you've been to this point in your career.
It's not trying to actively do that, I don't think. I'm in a particular position where, you know, I started when I was 16 years old or 17. I'm now 23. And so I feel like my material has just evolved naturally, because I, as a person, feel very different than I was 2 years ago, three or four.
Yeah. Well, I know you've liked poetry for a while. We have some tape that we want to play here. This is of you reading some haikus during a performance on Conan O'Brien's show back in 2010. Let's just listen to a little bit.
My aunt used to say, slow and steady wins the race. She died in a fire. Old people's skin sags because it is being pulled towards the underworld. Pages are blank. For 15 cents a day, you can feed an African. They eat pennies.
That's great. So that's Bo Burnham reading haikus on the Conan O'Brien show back in 2010. We mentioned, Bo, that you grew up in Hamilton, Mass., which is a beautiful little town up there near the North Shore. It's home, among other things, to the Myopia Polo Club. Very wealthy community. What was your family life like?
I know, like, the knee-jerk reaction from everyone I've ever heard put in this situation is like, oh, no, my family, we lived in a can on the side of the street in this rich neighborhood, you know. But no, I mean, we certainly weren't in the rich area of Hamilton. I have absolutely zero complaints about my childhood, which is probably my one complaint about my comedy, is that I don't have many, I don't have a lot of painful childhood experiences to draw upon.
What was it like around your dinner table? Was there a lot of really smart and rapid-fire repartee with your siblings or parents?
Yeah, I'm comfortable joking with my family and everything. I don't think of myself as a very extroverted person, though, in real life. I don't know. I guess I feel like a lot of my comedy is a product of what I was in high school, which is just sort of a kid who all he did was theater and schoolwork. That's sort of what I felt like was the genesis of my comedy, I think, more than casual dinner talk, just because I don't feel like a storyteller. I don't discover material on stage like other comedians do. I look at shows like Chelsea Lately, all these shows where comedians can kind of just get up and be themselves and be funny, and that seems impossible to me.
When you perform live, you still sing and play the piano, and I want to ask you about that, but first let's listen to part of your comedy hour taped at the House of Blues here in Boston. That was in 2010, called Words, Words, Words. Here's a little bit of that.
I believe in the Zodiac. I do. Completely. I'm a Leo. I love Titanic. But this is something a little bit morbidly ironic. My grandmother, she was a Cancer, and she was actually killed by a giant crab. This is a song about the idea of irony, so strap in. My dog's stomach was very upset, so I put him in the car and we went to the vet. And on our way to the vet, I killed a cat. Yes, isn't that ironic?
I love that song. It goes on. It's so good. Again, so clever.
I'm telling you, I had to take off my headphones and just listen for you laughing.
Is it really? It's really hard for you to hear this stuff?
I don't know. It just, particularly for me, it's like, I just spent 3 years making my third hour, and I'm finally going to release it. Yeah. And I've always found that I immediately in trying to do something new and different, I'm usually – it was in looking critically at the previous thing that I'm able to make the new thing. So I don't know. I just – when I hear that, I feel like my voice sounds so hammy and I sound so desperate. But the good thing is it's not my job to like my stuff.
Well, I think you're hard on yourself, and I understand that you're a bit of a perfectionist, and I think I'm hearing that come out in hearing you being so critical about your older stuff.
It's not terribly, terribly critical as much as it's just like I'm in a job that is just so self-involved, and it's just your own face way too much, your own voice way too much, you know. So I'm trying to fight for my own humanity, and that probably means in some way rebelling against just, you know, sitting in a pool of yourself all the time and enjoying it. I would be worried if I was comfortable hearing myself.
Well, what does the music do for your comedy?
Well, at first I think it was a nice way to just like bounce along these sort of quick little jokes, and I could stack 50 jokes on top of another, and if one didn't work, it was fine because you're just bouncing along to the next one, you know. And now I'm hoping to try to make it so the music is emotionally or thematically or comically informing the jokes. Basically, when you hear a bit of mine that's musical, you would think, well, oh, the music is essential to this. It's not a crutch, or it isn't just a glaze. It's a part of the fabric of the material.
Well, let's go out, Bo Burnham, on one more poem. Can you give us another one of your favorites and sort of talk us into a little bit?
Sure. Well, this is a little love poem. I just open on this. This seems like a nice one to go out. This is called Roller Coaster. Our love was a roller coaster. It had ups and downs, and I sat real close to her. It had a real slow climb and a real quick drop. I screamed faster, and she begged it to stop. I put up my hands, and she held tight, not a second of boredom on our rickety flight. And when it came to a stop at that first safer place, I said, let's do it again, and she puked in my face.
That's Bo Burnham. His new book of poetry is called Egghead, or You Can't Survive on Ideas Alone. And Bo Burnham, thank you so much for coming in. What a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm a stand-up comic, and I always sit and slouch. And I got my girlfriend pregnant on my sterile uncle's pull-out couch.
Yeah, it's ironic. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm sorry.
I'm just laughing from the music.
Me too.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
I'm not a game piece from Operation, and I can't grow a beard. That one's not ironic. That one's just sad. Yeah, Bob Barker got all of my pets pregnant. My grandfather had Alzheimer's, and one day we were